scriptures, would you go minister to him? 1 Peter chapter 3, would you turn with me to verse 15? Verse 15. The second half of 15. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with all gentleness and respect. Let me read it again. Always. Say always. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, I love your word, Lord. I am so thankful for your word. I'm so thankful that you have filled us with your spirit that allows us to pick it up, to read it, to understand it, to be changed and transformed by it. We just give you praise and glory that it is a living word unlike no other. And I thank you today you have prepared our heart for what you are wanting to sow in this place. I declare again that the soil of our hearts is fertile. I declare there is no hardness of heart. I declare no stony heart. I declare no thorny heart. I declare fertile soil that as this seed goes forth, that it will take root and it will bear fruit. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you again to take literal possession. I need a fresh anointing to literally possess my mind and my mouth, that I would only say those things I hear you say and do those things that I see you do. And I want to thank you again, Father, that you are speaking in this place. I thank you that you're going to say things that are not going to come out of my mouth. And today, your children will hear it. Your rhema word will be heard, and it will be received. With the authority you've given in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic bird that would seek to snatch and pervert the seed that's going to be sown. I command you to be silent and to be removed outside the walls of this building in Jesus' name. We declare this to be holy ground. Father, have your way. We are open for you to do a work in our life that will move us different than we can. We ask it in the powerful and beautiful name of Jesus. Everybody agree and say, amen. The reason I asked about school is last November and December, just before Christmas season, we began a series that we are going to carry on today. How many of you have any recollection of what that series was last November and December? How many of you? Emily, just look around. This is just like school, isn't it? Just like school. Well, I'll refresh you. Judy, should I have you stand and refresh everybody? No, I'll do that this morning. I know you do. I know. You're awesome. Last November, December, just before Christmas, we began a series talking about looking at all of what is going on in our world today and answering the question, not only how do we as believers respond to what's going on, but how are we able to take what's going on as an open door when talking to someone or anyone? How do we take what's going on as an open door? When the Lord began speaking to me about this, the Lord had just brought us through a period of time, almost 3 years, where for some, the frustration of what was going on, every time they had a conversation about it, it ended up being heated or controversial or divisive. And so for many, they just stopped talking about it. But for many, they missed an opportunity. I've got to tell you, that three-year period of time for some people was one of the most incredible open doors in order to speak to people, not about just what is temporal, but about what's eternal. And much of the church missed that. In the midst of a world that the only hope that was provided was an injection and a government who knows the science. And now we are in a time where both of those are quickly failing those who put their trust in those two things. said to him straight out, I said, because you're not vaxxed, because we're not vaxxed. And I said to him, I said, there's about 10 million of us in Canada who can't do it. And he looks at me, he didn't blink, he was just as solemn and as sincere. He looked at me and he said, why aren't you vaxxed? I got to tell you, I love that. I love that question. I love that. So I said to him, that's none of your business. I said, legally, you can't ask me that. I read that in How to Make Friends and Influence Enemies. I read that. No, that's not how I responded. That's not how I responded. But I do want to tell you, that question became an open door that I walked through to begin a conversation with that gentleman that took me past the present-day issue, the temporal, into the eternal things. But to do that, for most of us, we need to be prepared to do that. Just like we needed to learn how to lead someone to Christ through the Roman road, we needed to learn that. And once we learned it, then we're prepared to do it. We need to learn how to take everything that's going on in our world today that people are talking about, that the news is talking about, and see it as an open door, as a springboard to share our faith, the hope that is inside of us. We began last fall, and we looked at what that hope inside of us is. And let me tell you, people without hope have nothing to share with people who have no hope. Two people in a boat that's going down. That's what hopeless people are. But as Christians, as children of God, as followers of Christ, as born-again believers, those filled with the Spirit of God, we are full of it. Would you just say that with me? I'm full of it! Now, don't say that outside the context of this church. Somebody might agree. We are full of hope. Last fall, we talked about what that hope is. If you missed it, I encourage you to go back. Talk to Judy, find out the dates. She'll let you know where on CastBox you can hear it. We talked about the hope that is inside of us. And then we talked about one other thing. We talked about who we are. Moving past the fear of man, what it is that people think about us. Letting go of being concerned about what they say about us. And do you remember the picture? Getting to the place where all of the faces in our mind are removed completely, and the only one that's left is the face of the Father. Getting to the place where we see ourselves the way He sees us, where His face is the mirror of who we truly are, and we reinforce the statement, if you see yourself differently than the Father sees you, you are demonically deceived. You are believing a lie. I did for years. Most all of us have, and maybe still are. Didn't get that one, I encourage you to go back to. You can pick them up. Number messages back where we begin. So today, as we pick up this series and begin again, the Lord has laid upon my heart to share with you the answer to the question that some may ask, or even some of us will be asked by other people. Who am I that I think I have anything to share in every circumstance of what's going on in people? Who am I? Or someone comes in, who are you to think that you have something to say about everyone? Who do you think you are? Well, today I need to share with you who the Lord thinks you are, so that you can know who you are and think about who you are the way He thinks about you are. So when someone says, who do you think you are? You know who you are and tell them what you think. Did you get that? Don't ask me to say it again. These are some of the areas we're going to cover in the next number of weeks here. But getting to the point where you go, you know what? I have something to share. church is missing it. We're bashing climate change as compared to looking away. What an amazing opportunity to move from the temporal to the eternal. Climate change is awesome. Globalism. Wokeism. Wokeism. You know what wokeism is? We're going to talk about wokeism. What an amazing opportunity to share our faith. Is racism an issue today? Oh, no, that's right. It died out with Martin Luther King. It doesn't happen anymore, right? Yeah, right. Racism is a huge issue. We need to know what we are to say about it and to turn that into an eternal conversation. But the Lord has said to me, Colin, I want you to equip the body of Christ in this day to know how to respond in every circumstance with every person concerning the issues that are going on so we don't go, well, I don't know what to say. No, I'm not prepared for that. I don't. And miss the eternal opportunities to capture someone's soul by walking through that window. My prayer is that that is so crystal clear when we are done this today. Let's answer this. If you have a piece of pen and paper, not going to be a lot of writing today, but I would like you to write some things down. Just by writing it, you lock it in 85% more. For those of you who think you have a great memory, in 45 minutes I'll ask you the first thing I said and you'll have no clue. You'll have no clue. If you write it down, you will capture 85% lesson for those of you who take notes. Let me share with you how the Lord laid in my heart to answer this question. Who am I? When I'm heading out there, who am I? That I have something to say in every one of those issues in life. Who am I? Would you write down number one? Would you write down, I am someone who knows? And I want you to write it this way, three things. The truth in all capitals, the truth with the first letters capital, and the truth with no capitals. I am someone who knows the truth. And I want to tell you this straight up. If anyone is not convinced that what they believe is true, what is the likelihood that they're going to share with other people anything? If you're not convinced that what you believe is true, there will be zero motivation inside of you to share that. Let me give you an example. I don't believe in Baha'ism. Do you know how often I share about the Baha'i Church? Zero. Do you know why? Because I don't believe in it. I share what I believe, and if I'm not sharing it, I'm not believing it. But I want to tell you, for those who still believe the words of Jesus, and can I say this to you? These are becoming more and more unpopular all the time. That should encourage us in our faith. When he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Right across the road, we have a group of very religious people who make the statement and they go, concerning Jesus, he is a way. We're going to talk about that when it comes to universalism. When Jesus made a statement and said, no one comes to the Father but through me. Can I tell you, if we believe that, if we believe there is no other way for someone to get to heaven in relationship with Christ, if there's no other way than through Christ, we'll share it. And if we're not sharing it, we don't believe it. Let me say this. It's most of the same people who believe what Jesus said. It's those same people who believe that the book that was written, that had it in there, the Word of God, that from beginning to end, they also believe that this is truth. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, those same people go, this here is truth. And because they believe it's true, guess what they share? The truth. If you don't believe this is truth, you will never. there's a problem. The Spirit of God has pulled that veil back. In the world, I'll tell you, and we're surrounded by it, without that Spirit of truth, there's people out there, they don't know what's true. They don't know what's right and wrong anywhere. They don't know which way is up and which way is down. They don't know what's evil and what's good. Are we in a world that is full of that today? But I want to tell you, while they are wandering in the fog, not knowing the truth, the headlights of the Spirit of God, they have allowed us to see clearly, driving down that road. We are not in the fog concerning unborn children. We are not in the fog concerning gender issues. We are not in the fog concerning globalism. We are not in the fog. We know the truth. And because we do, we have been called by God to share that with those who don't know it. Can I just make this really clear? The fact that we as followers of Christ know the truth on all three levels, we know the truth, which is Jesus, we know the truth, the Bible is the Word of God. We know the truth. The Spirit of God has unveiled us and we see right from wrong. I want to tell you this, that in no way makes us arrogant or superior. It is the religious spirit that makes someone go, well, I know more than you, so I'm better than you. That is the religious spirit. Knowing the truth does not make us arrogant. Let me tell you, it does to us what it did to Christ. He came, he was the truth, he knew the truth, he saw through the fog. Did it make him arrogant? I got to tell you, yesterday I was listening to an interview by an author. I won't tell you the name of the author and I won't tell you the name of the book because I do not recommend anybody. This lady wrote a book on the rise of witches in our present day. She goes back and she records some of her history of some of her grandparents and whatever, some of the surrounding who were into herbs and all this kind of stuff, and they would have been known as modern day witches today. And she made a statement in the book, the interviewer was talking, and she said, well, the person who is most against the witches in your book is a guy by the name of Jace Christos or something. And she goes, I chose that because the initials JC represent exactly what the world has experienced. I mean, she said it. I'm slamming Jesus Christ as a white, arrogant. You can just go down the list. I want you to hear this. Knowing the truth did not make Christ arrogant. In fact, knowing the truth makes us responsible. Knowing the truth makes us accountable. Knowing the truth makes us determined. We talked about this a couple Sundays ago. If you are a person who discovered penicillin when everybody is dying from an infection around you and you have been given the penicillin, do you go, ha-ha, I've got it and you don't. Oh, look at me. Look how good I am. Or do you go, this saved my life? I'm bringing it to you. I'm bringing it to you. I'm bringing it. I have a responsibility now that I have it. If it makes you arrogant, you're religious. If it makes you responsible, you are Christ-like. We also talked that day about the time when the serpents bit the Israelites in Egypt or in the wilderness, and they came to Moses and he set up a pole with a snake on it. Can you imagine that you were a person who was given the information, if you get bit, you look at that snake on the pole and you'll be healed. You look and you're healed and you go, oh man, I am way better than you. I'm healed and you're dying. Is that the spirit? No. Knowing that truth makes you responsible. I got the secret. Look in there. I'm going to you. You've been bit. Look at what it did for me. Look at what it did. You look. Don't you ever think that because you know the truth and others out there don't, that somehow you are better than them? No. Who am I to share regarding what's going on in the world? shake my head. But I want to tell you what this is like. This is like taking your car to a mechanic. Something's not working. You take it there and you go, this is not working. The mechanic goes, well, I really don't know what it is, but we're going to just start by changing this part. We're going to change this part and then just let me know. So they change the brake and you come back again and you go, the problem's still there. And they go, well, let's try the alternator now. So they do the alternator and they put it in and still the same problem's there. And then you change the steering wheel and well, let's just try something else. Let's try something else. And you do that thousands of dollars later and you still got the same problem. How many times would you go back to that mechanic?
Choosing evil.
Jesus made this statement. He said to those around, he goes, why are you going to leave this woman bound by Satan? And they got after him for healing her on the Sabbath day. You don't do any work on the Sabbath, right? What did he do? He didn't deal with choices or whatever in her life. He dealt with a demonic force that was binding her for 18 years. When she was free, she stood up straight and healthy in that temple. They wanted to kill him for it. Those religious leaders had the wrong problem. Jesus knew we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We wrestle against what? The problem is principalities. The problem is powers. Can I tell you, when we talk about the White House, we talk about Parliament. We're not talking about people. We're talking about principalities and powers. Rulers, wickedness in the heavenly places. If there's a problem, that is what we address. Imagine this. Imagine Jesus getting out of the boat and stepping onto the ground, and all of a sudden they're confronted by the two naked men in the cemetery, and Jesus referred them to mental health. I want to say this carefully. I praise God for mental health care workers. I praise God for doctors. I praise God for social workers. But can I tell you this? If you believe they are the answer to the freedom that people are needing in their life, you've missed the problem. Jesus didn't look and go, man, these guys have a mental health issue. What did he do? He recognized the problem was this, not this, this. He recognized it, and with a word, he fixed the problem. Those men got clothed, and those men stood in front of him and listened to his teaching and wanted to go with him, and he says, no, you stay. You go tell people what happened to you. It's going to create, your testimony is going to create faith. Tell you straight up, there's not much talk about sin anymore. Even in the church, you know that. Why? It makes people uncomfortable. Can I ask you a question? Is sin a problem? You bet it is. We know it's a problem. Not many people talk about the devil anymore. Why? It makes people uncomfortable. Other than witches, I don't understand that. But why the witches? Why are they so comfortable talking about their craft? And we as believers, we're inhibited to talk about, well, why? I don't understand that. Yeah, I do, but people don't want to talk about spiritual kingdom of God stuff. They want to talk about spiritual all kind of stuff. They want to talk aliens, and they want to talk native spirituality, and they want to talk this spirit and that spirit and this God and that. Totally fine to talk spirituality, but don't you cross the line and talk about. I tell you this, no one out there is going to talk about the problem because they don't know it. We know the truth and we know the problem. So why do we have the ability in every circumstance to share in those? Because we know the problem. Unless we see ourselves as knowing the truth and knowing what the problem is, we won't open our mouth with any of those. Let me give you number three. Would you write down, we know the solution. We know the solution. Can I ask you, when no one out there knows the solution to the problem, someone says, hey, I think I know someone who does, and they really do. How valuable is that person who knows the solution? How valuable are they? Do you remember when Pharaoh had those two dreams and he called together all of his wise men, all of his magicians, all of his diviners, and none of them could tell Pharaoh what those dreams meant? Do you remember that story? And then all of a sudden, some guy who forgot Joseph for 2 years, he rises up and he goes, I know someone who knows the solution. Joseph, can I tell you, incredibly, life and death important. Look what's going on in our world today. And can I ask you, as a follower of Christ, and I'm going to say this straight up, do we know the solution to racism? Yes, we do. Do we know the solution to abortion? Yes, we do. Do we know the solution to pornography and depression and addiction and to cutting and broken relationship and debt and transgenderism? Do we know the solution to sickness and disease and condemnation and shame and what? Do we know the solution? If you don't know it, you will be silent on every issue out there. Doesn't matter who you're talking to. If you don't know it, you aren't opening your mouth. But if you know the solution, and let me say this straight, as believers in Christ, we know the solution. Do you know why we know it? Because we use that solution in our own life to deal with how the enemy was stealing and killing and destroying in us. When I didn't have the penicillin, praise God, somebody came with the penicillin and they shared with me. I believed them. I received it. And as a result of that, I was healed. Now I have the penicillin. I know the solution. When I was dying from the snake bite and I'm laying there and I'm losing my strength and someone comes over and goes, I'm healthy. Let me tell you, what I did is I looked at that pole with the snake. That's all you have to do. And I went, what have I got to lose? I cranked my head and I looked at the snake on the pole. Boom! I was healed. I got the solution. How do we know it? Because we're living with it. I am someone who knows the solution. Let me say this. You are someone who knows the solution in every circumstance of life. And that is why we are someone who has something to say with the issues going on in the world. And let me just make this incredibly clear. Would you write down number four? We are someone who knows a God. I know a God. Can I ask you, do you know a God? I know a God. I want to say this really clearly. I am not the solution to the world's problems, and neither are you. Isn't that wonderful? There's a time to say amen. Let's say amen. Yeah, you are not the solution. I am not the solution. And we don't have to be. Why? Because we know a guy. We know a guy who is the solution. And we can either bring people to the solution or we can take the solution to people. I love reading in the New Testament. The entire time that Jesus was on earth during his ministry, people were bringing family members, people were bringing neighbors, people were bringing their friends, people were bringing all of these people, they were bringing them to the solution. They even ripped a ceiling, a roof off, and lowered a guy down. Do you know why? Because in that house is the solution. They said to the paralytic guy, they go, we're taking you to see someone who can heal you. We know this guy. They said to the one who was blind, they said, we're going to take you to someone who can give sight back to you. We know this guy who can fix that. They said to the woman possessed with seven demons, we're going to take you to someone who can set you free of all of that stuff in your life. We know this guy. We're taking you. Testament is all about. When they encountered Jesus, they knew this guy. Who are we to say something regarding the issues of life? Let me tell you who we are. We are people who know the truth. We are people who know the problem. We are people who know the solution. And we are people who know a God. saying. Ruben just shot me a text last night. He said, what do we do with this? 38 weeks in Ontario? 38 weeks. A baby. Terminated. Out of the womb. In Canada. One of the first afterbirth terminations legalized in the States, legalized in California. They're pushing it to get 30 days after birth in order to kill them without it being murdered. If we are not stepping into those conversations with the truth that we know, knowing the problem, knowing the solution, and taking the solution to them, who is going to do it? Let me tell you incredibly clearly what the Lord said to me is, Paul, I want you to equip my body. It doesn't matter what the conversation is. It doesn't matter what comes up. I want my body equipped to be able to step in, walk through that open door, and take that conversation from temporal to the eternal. God wants us to know how to handle transgenderism in a godly, loving way that leads people to Christ and doesn't alienate and divide. That's what our next number of weeks are going to be, church. We'll talk about those issues. seals. I ask today that you would release a grace in this place and with every person under the sound of my voice, that we would come to a place of seeing ourselves as a person. We know the truth. And in this world full of all kinds of stuff, we know the problem. And we are a person who knows the solution. Wow. Because of you, Jesus, we're able to tell people out there we know God. In fact, He's the only God. So I release a grace today over every heart with the sound of my voice. Father, that you would begin to do a revelation work on the inside of us. You would begin to help us to see who you have made us to be, what you have given us. And would you begin to prepare our heart as we begin stepping in? Not backing away from the issues of the world, but being prepared to step in. Into the darkness, into the bondage, into the fog, into the unbelief, into the false beliefs. Walk in there believing. Today. And as you've been listening, you know there has never been a time in your life where you have made the decision to put your faith in Christ. You may have gone to church for years. There was never a time when you made a decision to receive Christ as the Lord and Savior in your life. If you are at that place today, I just invite you to pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I want to say thank you for dying on the cross for my sin and for rising again from the dead. I want to say thank you that you are the only God who is the way, the truth, and the life. And I believe today that I can't come to the Father but through you. So today I receive you. I ask you to come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Cleanse me of all my sin. Fill me with your Spirit. Take the blinders off. Allow me to walk in truth. If you pray that prayer, I want to say welcome to the family of God. The Bible says today you've been born again to the kingdom of God's dear Son. We'd love to hear from you. Church family, would you stand with me this morning as you receive the blessing of the Lord? As a child of God, someone who knows the truth personally, to you today what you already know. The Lord has blessed you and He's keeping you. The Lord has caused His beautiful face to shine on you and to be gracious to you. The Lord has lifted up His countenance upon you and today has filled you full of His peace. Pray that in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Everybody believe and say. Would you say this with me? As a child of God,